so that loss, famine, sickness, disease, epidemics are regularly attributed to the evil deities venging themselves on people who have not been sufficiently worshipful. Now this clearly is a form of Satanism, where what we would call Satan, or in this case plural, demons, are literally worshipped as gods. This is going on now in upwards of, I would say, 1 billion people. The third form, cultic, which touches us more immediately in the United States. Cultic Satanism may be synonymized as witchcraft. It may also, of course, be mixed up with either philosophical or polytheistic Satanism. But generally, cultic Satanism of the type that I'm now going to describe originates among ex-Christians, and with emphasis among ex-Catholics, and to our horror among ex-priests. What does cultic Satanism believe? It believes, as we do, that there is a devil who is a creature. Now, the notion of just who Satan is may be somewhat unclear among these people, and they may, in fact, sort of deify him, and then you would have an approximation of either polytheism or manichaeism. But most cultic Satanists do not think through on philosophical or theological grounds what they are doing. It is, if you wish, an activist type of Satanism. It recognizes the evil spirit as very powerful and must have, generally speaking, in the readings that I've done and the consultation that I have done, it seems to have its genesis in people who had been Christians but somehow fell on evil ways and then discovered, and either they or somebody else for them must make the discovery, that if you somehow give yourself to the evil spirit, he will do things for you that you've never enjoyed or experienced before. Consequently, the cultic form, and that's what the word means, the cultus or worship of Satan, not unlike the way we understand him, except that we dare not worship him. We ask God to protect us from him. But these people, believing that he is very powerful and very shrewd, he's both, that if persons invoke him, and notice this is different than polytheistic Satanism, because here it is invoking the evil spirit, that he will, he would say, by God's permissive providence, but that's not quite the way the Satanists think, that he will then grant favors to his devotees, which others who ignore Satan will not receive. It is, if you can imagine the word, it is invoking Satan and offering him worship and sacrifice in order to obtain his favor. demonic grace in return for humble worship. Now here we must distinguish this demonic worship on two levels. Generally speaking, most satanic worship, and this I repeat, is mostly among ex-Christians, is to obtain benefits for oneself or others from the devil. But the devil may also be invoked in order to obtain, if you please, not exactly benefits, but harm, injury, for someone against whom, well, I have ill feeling, and whom I want somehow to injure or, if possible, destroy. So we distinguish between satanic worship which is benevolent and satanic worship which is malevolent. In both cases, among the Satanists are two classes. On the benevolent level, there are Satanists who are so closely in league with the, well, of course, you see, we don't call it anymore evil spirit, but this spirit whom we consider to be evil by his nature, that they are so closely in league with the devil that they can obtain favors from him just by the invocation. Others, on the other hand, and this is more common, must go through certain ritual. And provided a person knows what ritual is to be performed, what words to use, what incantations to practice, what gestures to go through, the effect will take place. So too the malevolent. There are some people, Satanists, who by their mere invocation of Satan can harm. Their will act, their intention to injure, and being in league with the evil spirit, the person or persons will be harmed at a distance. And much more commonly, they will too have to practice certain ritual, use certain formulas, go through certain gestures, and provided they do them in the right way and they have very secret formulas which they've got to practice, anyone who practices those formulas or pronounces those words, believing, of course, that Satan will grant what is asked for, the favor in this case, to do injury, will surely be granted. By way of very summary conclusion, because I could, as you can see, give a series of conferences on this subject, what should we as Catholics think of the remarkable upsurge of Satanism in the Christian world? First, we've got to know that it is going on. Pope Paul has more than once said that Satan has perhaps never been more active since apostolic times than today. First, then, to recognize the fact. Secondly, to realize that Satan has always, from Eden on, has always sought human agents to assist him. Satan does not work alone. He works through others. Consequently, it behooves us to use discernment of spirits, and the plural here is important, spirits, between the spirit that is of God or the good spirit, the angelic hosts, who do the bidding of God, and the evil spirits, who are permitted by God, as we know, to tempt and lead people into sin. We must practice discernment and pray and ask God to grant, especially the leaders in our church, the light to distinguish the good from the evil spirit, because the evil spirit always hides his evil intentions. In the history of the church, he has managed to lead people astray who were taken in by ideas and certain practices, and in general, to remember this is the teaching of the church, we can recognize the evil spirit operating through human agents by the manifestation of pride and the practice of lust. This is the way he misleads people, and often very good people, unless they are profoundly humble, they can become victims of the evil spirit through pride. And unless they control their bodies, their passions can be exploited by the evil spirit. So pride and lust, so much so that we can speak of the evil spirit of pride and the evil spirit of lust as manifesting himself among people in the world, including some in the church. And therefore we should ask for ourselves first, and then for others, that they might recognize the evil spirit who is working. He doesn't sleep day and night to mislead especially the dedicated persons in the church away from Christ, either through pride or through sins of the flesh. Finally, as St. Peter tells us, let's remember the evil spirit goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, he says, strong in faith. The word faith in St. Peter, in which this passage occurs, is not only faith in the sense of believing, it is faith especially in confidence, in trust, that God will never permit us or anyone else to be tempted by the evil spirit, not only beyond our strength, but what we seldom say, beyond our light. We have enough faith to recognize the machinations of the evil spirit and enough strength to resist him. But, and with this I close, we must have great confidence that Christ, who is God in human form, who allowed himself to be tempted by the devil, and remember, if God become man, was tempted by the devil, and he wants us to learn from him, what is Christ telling us? We are also going to be, we are also being tempted by the devil. So not to be surprised, but to be absolutely sure that because Christ overcame the devil before us, and we are in his grace, that we have both the faith as life and the faith as confidence to first recognize Him and distinguish the evil spirit from the good spirit, and secondly, no matter how strongly He may tempt us, we can resist Him. But we must pray, and not just for ourselves, but for all the people of God, because it is especially the people of God that the devil is tempting, so they might become people of Satan. Let's ask our Savior to help us recognize the devil and resist him.